I'm going to give you somebody else's testimony before I start. It's somebody used to go to the church all the time, moved to Florida, and now in the summertime they come back to Maryland, and then they go back to Florida. But the young lady, she goes to another church, and they ask her to hold a Bible study that ladies did, because the church isn't spirit-filled. Excuse me, and the lady saw that she was, so they wanted her to do Bible study. I didn't know all this, but for 1 month, God had me set aside every day time to pray just for her. And so when she called the other day, but I wasn't at the phone, and I didn't get to call her back for a couple hours. I called her back. She said, "I needed you when I called you." And then she said, "I started a Bible study, and I wanted you to cover me, and I knew if you covered me, God would be there." Excuse me. But I said, "Well, I've been praying for you for a whole month." So anyhow, in this Bible study, she's always in the Spirit anyhow. She walks in the Spirit. The ladies fell out in the Spirit without her saying a word. And the whole time she did the teaching, she was in the Spirit, hanging on to the pulpit like she usually does. The people were filled with the Spirit. Ladies were healed. And they left there staggering to their cars. Now, God is on the move. He said he's going to work in home situations. Well, anyhow, they were out in some sort of restaurant somewhere. And rented a room, and somebody was going by the door and got slain in the Spirit, and they just had a marvelous time. So I'm just encouraging you by saying all this to please do Bible, you know, do home things, you know, do things. Don't just sit in church, do things. Get out there and do things. Well, anyhow, they said, "Well, okay, I got to tell you this." While she was ministering, she laid hands on a lady, and a demon manifested. She said, "I didn't get it out, but I made it be quiet." She wasn't expecting that, so she just made it be quiet, which is fine. It's, you know, which is fine. But anyhow, they said, "Well, how did you know all this stuff?" And she said, "I went to a church, a little church," and she said, "The pastor taught us all this stuff," and she said, "The anointing's really strong there." So she told the people they had to come here sometime. They're over in Maryland, and they had to witness the anointing that God has. So we have a lot to live up to. But anyhow, I just think it's wonderful that this young lady who, the church she went to in Florida, that she goes to there, Bob Larson is part of that group. He goes there quite often, and they just do deliverances. He just have service of doing deliverances. And so she stayed in the deliverance, and she stays in walking in the Spirit. And that's how you get things done, is walking in the Spirit. And God told me one time that you guys don't walk deep enough in the Spirit, and that's why you don't see things manifest the way they need to be manifested. So I'm encouraging each one of you in here today, deeper into the Spirit. You know, and I know, what do I do? You know, it's not a work, it's not a labor to get deeper into Spirit. It's just you be you, and just tell God you want more of Him, and go about your daily routine. You don't have to sit for hours and beat yourself, do penance and all that stuff. Just be you. You know, because you are what He's going to work through. And so as you are you, and then he starts pouring, as you ask him, "Pour your Spirit into me," he will pour his Spirit into you. Now, see, there's an anointing on a lot of things. Sister Grace sent me a video, which I have to turn my computer on, and I watched a video, 9-minute little video thing about the guy's dream, Tim Sheets' dream. And all of a sudden, you know, I don't very seldom speak in tongues. I do, but not very seldom. I started speaking in tongues, and next thing you know, I was interpreting what I was speaking in tongues. And God told me a whole lot of things. And one thing he said was the glory was going to fall in this fall, 2022. Yeah. All right. I remember he's been telling me for years it's going to fall in the fall. And he told me this is a year the glory is going to fall, 2022. That's not too far away. And God's been trying to get the body of Christ ready for the great anointing that's going to fall when the glory and all of its fullness comes. Because he said, if you're not ready, it's going to kill you. The weightiness of it is going to kill you. God's glory is weighty. A lot of people are having a lot of dreams and visions right now. And that you need to, your dreams and your visions are important. You need to pay attention to what you're dreaming. All right? I'm encouraging everyone in here this morning to go deeper into the Father. And like I said, just be you. Just go around your, you know, like God told me, you can't quit living. You have to do life as you're following me. Jesus did life as he was on this earth, did he not? And look how anointed he was. Peter and Paul, they all did life. And look how God used them. You really have to stop and think about how great Paul's ministry was and how great Peter's ministry was. They both had powerful ministries. And the reason why they did is they both followed God with all of their heart. They didn't deviate from anything that God told them to do. They were very, very, very obedient to everything that God said. And they didn't conjure up things either. They were normal human beings. All right. The trouble with the body of Christ that I see is you try too hard to be totally filled with the Spirit. You're laboring, and it's not a labor. It's something God just drops on you. All right. You don't labor to do this. If you're laboring, then you're not in the Spirit. You're still in your flesh. Now, this is a little bit of teaching. God said, told me yesterday, so I'm going to go back and give them a refresher course of what they're supposed to be doing, because whenever the glory drops, it's going to be too late. You're going to have to be already ready for that. There are some people in the body of Christ that God wants to use mightily, but he can't, because they can't be themselves. Remember what God told me? He says, you have to be who you are. You can't. I was trying to be everybody else, okay? All the other pastors. He said, you are you, and I called you to be you. So you guys out there, just chill. Yeah, just chill out. Just, you'd be surprised what God will do through you and to you. Well, Father, I truly do thank you, and I praise you for this woman's testimony. I thank you, Father God, for moving in her Bible study. And I thank you, Father God, for everything you're doing here today. I thank you, Father, for those who came out to sit at your table and receive fresh manna from heaven. Father, you are in control of all things. This is your church. This is your service. And we are nothing but instruments, Father God, vessels of honor that you work through. And Father, I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You know, one thing I want you to know is that you must forgive your enemies. You cannot hold aught against anybody, no matter who it is. It's going to stop you dead in your tracks. You have to walk in forgiveness and in love if you expect to do anything for God. All right? Love is the answer to all things. Love is what brings us through those muddy waters that we go through sometimes. And you need to understand that God is working on marriages right now. He's bringing them, knitting them closer together. So because he's working on marriages, the enemy's working hard too to tear marriages apart. Now, are you a child of God, or are you a child of the enemy? If you're a child of God, then you're going to let God go and work on your marriage and bring it to where he wants to be. If you're a child of the enemy, you're going to allow the devil to tear it apart. All right? We all go through rough times. Come on. You know, really, what I've been doing lately, whenever I feel like I'm being, you know, just come against in ways I shouldn't be come against, I stop and think of what Jesus must have been thinking when he was taking all that beating for you and I. And I stop and think of what he must have been thinking as he was trying to get up Calvary's hill. And then what was he thinking when he was hanging on the cross? I didn't see him whimpering or crying. He went through his assignment very well, I thought, with much dignity. And I really believe, you know, God told me one time that if we're going to be like Jesus, then be like him in every area of your life. So if you think that your cross is too heavy, think about the cross that Jesus bore on that fateful day. All right? And I think you'll find out that your cross is really light. All right, this is what God said. Where do we go from here? I know I have been asking you that a lot lately. I want you to keep that, the idea of constantly moving, on your mind. I do not want you to stop and become stagnant. I want you to be moving with the wind of my spirit and never once cease movement. For I am a God of motion. And John 3:8 says, the wind blows or breathes where it wills, and though you hear its sound, yet you neither know where it comes from nor where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Let's go back to the first statement. Where do we go from here? I want you to ask yourself that question this morning. God, where do I go from here, from this morning on? God said, I know I've been asking you that a lot lately. In this church, he's been asking us that. I want you to keep the idea of constant moving on your mind. I do not want you to stop and become stagnant. You're going to have to constantly be asking God, what is it you want me to do today? What is it you want me to be doing or saying today? I want you to be moving with the wind of my spirit, never once cease movement, for I am a God of motion. Now, how many of you heard the thunder and the lightning last night? Adrienne, I think, just got in her car when the thunder hit. And I was wondering, is she moving or is she scared out there? Because she was over swimming with Isaiah. And just as she left, boom, 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 you know. I was glad I was in the house. So how many of you heard the rain? Did you say, God, thank you for the rain the minute you heard the rain? Because I don't know if you know, but we're in a little bit of a drought. We need rain desperately. And I kept saying, God, keep on raining, keep on raining, keep on raining. We need the rain. But I know there's some people that were saying, why do we have to have the rain? They were complaining about the rain. We, as children of God, we need to be praying, thank you for the rain. Keep on raining. And, you know, as I was saying that, I kept saying, keep on raining, Lord. I was studying. And finally, he said, do you want the former rain or the latter rain? I said, I want both. He said, you want the spiritual rain or the natural rain? I says, I want both. So he was asking me, do you want me to rain down upon you too? Do you want me to give you more anointing too? See, so you get yourself involved with what God is doing. Oh, well, it's raining outside. We can't go outside now. No, don't go there. Keep your mind on the things of God. If you keep your mind on the things of God, Father God, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that this heaviness, Father God, this ought that's in the room right now, that your angelic host are lifting it right now. I didn't come, Father God, to be under a heavy atmosphere. I came here to sit in your presence and in your freedom. And Father God, I thank you for removing this heaviness that's in the atmosphere and the ought. Thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you are reading what's going on with the Christians over in, Afghanistan, where they're killing them and, you know, and they're running for their lives just because they love the Father? Did you ever think about that? You know, God told me one time that is going to come on American soil. What are you going to do when it comes on American soil? how are you going to react? You know, these women are running with their children and yelling and screaming, you know, because they're being killed and slaughtered as they go. We need to get ready for all these types of things. Everything is not going to be rosy all the time. We're going to have to fight at some point for our very life, for our walk with God. Are you ready for that? You know, I'm sorry. God's trying to take you out of your comfort zones. Are you allowing Him to take you out of your comfort zone? You know, it's like, I think like we're little eaglets. God is telling us it's time to fly, and He's chasing us out of our nests. You know, He's saying, you've been in this nest, in this comfort zone long enough. Now I want to use you. And He's trying to push us out. All right, God, so I constantly stir the rivers of living waters and give you every opportunity to enter the waters of everlasting joy and impartations. So remember that word. I have many impartations waiting for you, but you can only receive these impartations as you move. Barbara and her group have been going out every Saturday on the streets. And I'm believing as they continue to go in the streets that you're moving and God's going to impart greater giftings and greater anointings upon you. All right? But then I don't know about that because Barbara, I think I read it right, said they prayed for somebody and she broke her foot. Isn't that what you told me? I know that, but then I thought you said she broke her foot. Oh, all right. I was hoping it wasn't the other way around. I thought, wait a minute here. But I know because we've done this. When you go out on the street, God gives you an anointing that you don't have sitting in your home. And you'll even, like we always say, in your workplace, in the grocery store, you should always be expecting the anointing to be really super strong in you so that no matter what you're doing, you touch other people's lives. This is what God wants us to do, constantly move. He said, this next great movement has begun. Hear that? It's already begun. And it shall never cease. I am blowing the winds of change all over this great land. So people, the move has already started. Is God using you in this move? Think about this. And don't get all distraught if you don't see any great, wonderful thing happen. You know, the little things is what God works in. All right? God said, I so desire that you move immediately when you hear the wind of my voice blowing over you. I am constantly moving in the direction of change. See that? I am continually moving forth with the harvest. Ride the wind of change and flow with me into the new. Fear not, beloved, I am He who makes all things new. God, if you allow Him in your life, He's making everything new. You see, what you're doing is you keep thinking about what used to be, and what used to be doesn't exist. You have to move on with God. And I see so many people not moving on with God. They're just still wanting what used to be, or still believing what used to be is always going to be, and that's not true. God is changing things if you'll just watch. If you just quit complaining. I was a complainer there for a while, and God said, what are you doing? I said, complaining. He said, well, quit complaining. I'm doing exactly what I said I would do. I am changing things around about you. Just because I don't see them does not mean that He isn't changing. Then all of a sudden, boom, there it is. It's all changed. We said, well, what was we so distraught about? All right. God said, I am a God of activity and have life all mapped out before your feet. And John 5:17 said, but Jesus answered them, my Father is working until now, and I am working. God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the angelic host, all of heaven, is constantly working on our behalf. God said, I am a God that will cause you to survive in this end time hour of gross darkness that is hovering over this land. Now you have to stand on that. God has told us when all hell breaks loose, he will keep us. When there's a food shortage, which is already on the horizon, he will feed us. All right? And I'm believing he's going to put gas in our gas tanks. Amen? Come on. But God can only do for us what we can believe for. God says, when I say I am God Almighty, all creation trembles, for they know a mighty movement has begun. Since when do I stand still? See that? When do I stand still? You will look around about you and you will see I have been on the move. In Psalm 12, 121, 3 and 4 says, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Let's just stop there. Hasn't God been saying, I am Almighty God, to you people here in the services the last couple weeks? And when he said this, I thought, wow. So look what he said. For I say, I am God Almighty, all creation trembles, for they know a mighty movement has begun. You guys that go all the time, you should get excited because God's been saying, I am, and he says it loud, firm, I am God Almighty. And he's even told some of you that in your prophetic words. So what he's saying is, a movement has begun in your life. You see that? A movement has already begun in your life. And God said, look no more for comfort zone. I got ahead of myself, all right? Look no more for comfort zone. It is time to battle the elements of the ages. I've allowed you to slumber and sleep, but those days have ended, and it is movement time. Kelly, what are you and your husband doing? Are you moving? Are you doing what God's told you to do? And God said, you're not moving fast enough. You're behind on schedule, so you have to get caught up, all right? Come on. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God gave me that scripture when he first put me out on the evangelistic field. God is with you. I don't care where you're going. I don't care what you're doing. If you're following God, he's with you. And he's ordering your footsteps. And if you allow him, you keep your mouth shut. If you allow him, he'll open it and he'll speak through you. All right? Then God said, the enemy has never stopped moving. He has been one step ahead of the church, but that day is over. Now is the day that the church will overtake the threshers. Now that statement bothered me, so I called Chris. He didn't know the answer either. I had to tell him what the answer was. All right. A thresher is somebody who separates and divides, right? What has the enemy been doing in the church? Separating and dividing. So it says now the church will overtake the threshers. You're going to overtake the enemy. And he's not going to be able to separate and divide. Y'all understand that statement, right? All right, God said, now is the day for all to see my mighty hand at work on behalf of my true devoted ones. If you're truly following God with all of your heart and you died out to your dumb old flesh, then God is with you and he's working with you. And God said, yes, the enemy has you lulled to sleep, but I have come and I have sounded the alarm and all of heaven is vibrating with activity and all the earth will follow suit. Church, you're finally going to do what you're supposed to be doing. Instead of sitting twiddling your thumbs, you're going to be working like crazy for the Father. Because when this movement is already started, it's going to increase and keep increasing. And then in the fall, when the glory falls in all its fullness, you're going to be so busy. God told us this. You're going to be so busy, you won't know what to do. A lot of you are going to have to quit your jobs in order to be working in God's field. All right? You have been saying, here I am, send me. Now look what he says. Well, I am sending. I am bringing in new blood, and I will send it to the far corners of the earth. Look at that. you said, here I am, send me. Well, I am sending. I am bringing in new blood, and I will send it to the far corners of the earth. And more or less, he's saying, some of you I'm not going to send. I'm going to bring somebody else and send them because you wouldn't do what I've asked you to do. When he said that, that sort of made me sit up and take notice. I hope it did you this morning. God said, I have sent you forth thus far because you, I'm sorry, I have not sent you forth thus far because you are not ready for this great harvest plunge. Instead of you waiting in faith and allowing me to take the last speck of flesh, you're trying to get me to send you now. I so desire to send you now, but you are not humble. If you were humble, you would not be questioning me about when I am going to send you. The spirit is willing, but the body is not ready. You see that he didn't say the spirit. He said the spirit is willing. He didn't say, but the flesh. He said, but the body, your whole body. You're not ready to do the things that God's called you for to do. And you'd see that Matthew 26:41. A lot of people say, send me, send me, send me. And why don't you send me? Why is my ministry not started? It's because you're not ready. You're still not humble. You're still arguing with God. Why haven't you already sent me? This is what I'm saying. If you would just sit and be still and be you, all of a sudden you're going on your, you know, on what God wants you to do. I know that, you know, God did that to me, and I, you know, because I didn't even want to do what I'm doing, and that's the honest truth. I fought God about it. I've just set my own business. And God said, this is what I want you to do. But too many people, you know why you saying, God, why don't you send me? Why don't you send me? Because that's pride. And God has to strip all pride out of you. Now, Kelly, you and your husband, you need to just do. You too. I'm going to smack you both. You don't have pride in anything, you just need to do. And I feel sorry for those who are always saying, you know, why isn't God, why doesn't he have me on my ministry? Why this and why that? And, you know, I know why, you know. It's because you stand out. It's not Jesus stands out, it's you that's standing out there. All right, God goes on to say the power grids will come down, yes. But that does not mean my power is coming down. I have given you all power and authority to subdue the enemy at all fronts, but you do not even use that power and authority to get your body under subjection. See that? If you don't get your own body under subjection, how is God going to be able to use you, trust you, to send you out on the street? God said, oh, how I wish you were like my son Jesus, humble to the point of death on the cross. Then all hell would be trembling and not stop, for they know they are going down, never to be resurrected ever again. Has God ever spoken to you and told you that all hell trembles just at the sound of your name? I know he has some of you. So that means you know you have all power and all authority, and the enemy knows that you know that, and the enemy knows that he has to get you before you get him. So he's going to work at you overtime, trying to get you to stop doing the things that God is calling you forth to do. All right? You know, don't worry about the enemy. God has him in the palm of his hands, and God can crush him at any given second. And we have power and authority over him, and we just need to move forward. All right, I said we all face struggle of dealing with our flesh. And Paul said in Romans 8:6-7, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. Mind set on the flesh is hostile before God. All right, let's talk about the impartations that God talked about. I have, and God said, I have many impartations waiting for you, but you can only receive these impartations as you move. All right, what is impartation in the Bible? The word impart means to give, convey, or grant. Impartation, then, is the act of giving or granting something. In the Bible, spiritual gifts are imparted. In Romans 1:11, wisdom is imparted. In Proverbs 29:15, the message of the God, I'm sorry, spiritual gifts are imparted in Romans 1:11. Wisdom is imparted in Proverbs 29:15. The message of the gospel is imparted in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, and material goods are imparted in Ephesians 4:28 and 1 Timothy 6:18. We need to understand God has moments of impartation planned for each of us. All right? I mean, when God was speaking, when I went and speaking in tongues, and God let me know what I was saying, one thing he said, he was in imparting new wisdom into me right then and there about certain things. So, you know, I'm not asking God at 7 o'clock in the morning for an impartation. But, you know, God wanted to impart some at that time. This is what I'm saying, but just be real, just be normal, and then just let God talk to you. All right? When an impartation takes place, you will receive what cannot be gained through natural talent or human effort. It will be a work of the Spirit releasing from one person to another a special anointing for service. All right, Paul did this with Timothy. It took place between Elijah and Elijah, and it also took place between Moses and Aaron. There was impartations. God said fresh impartations are coming for the church in preparation for a new season in church history. Brand new, fresh impartations. There are going to be stronger anointings to do the works that we're going to have to face in this given dispensation of time. Astrid Johnson, you just need to quit allowing other people to intimidate you. You know, you're an equal with them, and quit letting them look down on you and make you feel like you're not important. All right, we need the anointing these impartations will bring in order to accomplish the Great Commission. We need these. As you stay open and remain teachable, you will receive amazing empowerment that will enable you to accomplish the greater works of your calling. Let's just stop there. You know, I've been watching Sister Grace grow from the first day she ever came here. I am so excited about what God, the wisdom and the knowledge and the anointing that God has placed in her. Sometimes she ministers to me. She tells me, she said, just need to quit. She didn't really say those words, but what she's saying is, God is with you. You see what I'm saying? You know, we're all equal. We're all on the same level. And if God wants to impart wisdom to her to give to me, fine. If he wants to impart wisdom to her to give to her son, fine. Whatever he wants to do. And I'm just picking on Grace right now because she doesn't like it. All right? But I watched her grow. I watched her grow. And I am so pleased and blessed to have her to be part of the Lighthouse Church. She is humble. She really is. I don't care what everybody else thinks. I know what I see. Now I've lost my place. Okay. We can define impartation as a reception of supernatural power from God that brings a definite positive difference in a person's life or ministry. Now, impartation often refers to receiving a spiritual gift or a specific anointing. An example would be having a healing evangelist lay hands on you and noticing a definite increase in the healing anointing following the prayer that they pray over you. All right? Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would flow through the one who thirsts. We should actively and relentlessly pursue being continually filled with the power of God's Spirit. There are two ways to receive impartation: the laying on of hands and waiting on the Lord in prayer. All right, now let's stop here. Be careful who lays hands on you and what they impart to you. Because not everybody, I'm sorry, is following God that's in the house of God. I don't care if they're an evangelist, a pastor, or bishop, or whatever. Not everybody should be laying hands on you, and you should really be careful of that. I watch that very closely when I have people come in, and I tell you they're fine, they can lay hands on you, but I continually watch to make sure that they are staying in the Spirit and walking with God, because I don't want them to impart something in you that's not of God. All right. And Mary Steele, you need to be careful when you're imparting things into people. God, show me that those that you're imparting something into are trying to impart something in you that's not of God. So what he's saying is you're going to come to people who are demonically inclined, and when you're trying to impart something in them, that spirit in them is going to fight that, and they're going to try to overtake it and give you what they have. So keep yourself covered with the blood at all times when you're doing impartations. One thing I have a hard time with, and I probably will to the day Jesus takes me home, is people saying, smacking you on the head and say, there, you're filled with the Spirit. Repeat at me, blah, 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 bloop, 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 bloop. Now you're speaking in tongues. No, you're not. You know, and I just believe if you're going to speak in tongues, God, I don't have to touch you. I don't have to say a prayer over you. I just believe with all my heart that God will give you the speaking in tongues. All right? Brother Chris speaks in tongues all the time. I don't. It's just when the Spirit moves on me that I speak in tongues. And when I do, it's beautiful. But I cannot just willy-nilly speak in tongues. He doesn't willy-nilly do it either. He just speaks in tongues all the time. He always has. That's just where he's at. So just be careful who lays hands on you. And you know, it's not bad to say, I really don't want you to lay hands on me. It really isn't. Or, you know, if you don't want to say that, just cover yourself with the blood of Jesus, and nothing that they're trying to transfer into you will touch you. Just cover yourself with the blood of Jesus if you want to be polite. All right. And make sure if you're going to lay hands on people that you're right. Please don't transfer something into somebody else that's not right. If you're full of pride and want to be seen, don't be laying hands on people. Because what you'll be doing, if they're not covered, you're going to transfer that into them. Let's do this thing right with God. All right, when I say I am God Almighty, in Exodus 6:3, I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. In this passage, God identifies himself as the same Almighty God who appeared to the forefathers of Moses, now referring to himself as the Lord. The name Almighty implies that God has all the might. He needs to do anything he wants to do. So when he kept telling us there last week or the last couple of weeks, I am God Almighty, he's saying, I'm going to do whatever I want to do in this church, and nobody's going to stop me. Amen. When he says that to you, that's what he's saying to you. He is the Lord God Almighty, and he's going to do what he wants to do. And you're not going to be able to stop him. All right, this view of God is confirmed over and over again in the scriptures. We call it the omnipotence of God. Now I can't even say that this morning. Say that. Thank you. And almighty mean virtually the same thing. He is a God of all possibilities. He can do anything he wants to do. So you guys, quit limiting him. He can save your unsaved loved ones. He can heal you. You know, he can meet your needs. He can do anything he wants to do. That's the kind of God we serve. He can also help you love your spouse or your children. You know, when they're acting like the devil themselves, you know, he can still help you love them. He can do anything he wants, anything you ask him to do. God said, I am the Almighty God, and I have planted myself in front of you, taught you this morning, and I am asking you to allow me to be in control of all things pertaining to your life from this moment forth. This is what he's saying to you this morning. I am the Almighty God, and I have planted myself in front of you, and I am asking you to allow me to be in control of all things pertaining to your life from this moment forth. Then God said, once you commit yourself, there is no turning back. So are you committing yourself to the Father this morning? Saying, you are Lord God Almighty over my life. And you have my full permission to do anything you want to do. Because, you know, God will not go against your will. God wants to do that this morning. He wants to be God Almighty in your life. And God's also saying this morning he wants you to touch the hem of his garment. He wants you to touch the hem. The altar's open. And the altar's open. He said, he's asking you to, you're saying to him, God, I want you to be God Almighty in my life.